Yes, January is gone. It is gone. And the reason I point that out to us is I'm wondering how many of us have set New Year's resolutions. And now that January is gone, we had 31 days. How are we doing on those resolutions? No, it's not required. But many of us do take the time for the changing of the new year to think about some things that we'd like to stop doing or start doing and make some significant changes in our lives. I made a few, and I'm repenting. I've got some more work to do. Perhaps you'll appreciate this statement. A new year is like a new baby. Many changes will be necessary, some of which may be neglected. Oh, there are some changes that we need to make, I'm sure. Benjamin Franklin, if you set New Year's resolutions, if you think Benjamin Franklin was a noteworthy person, he also set New Year's resolutions, or resolutions that he strived to live by. There are about 13 of them. He had a master list of 12, later tacking on a tough 13th resolution, which was stated, imitate Jesus and Socrates. That's a pretty big shoes to follow in, pretty big steps. But he writes in his autobiography that he had trouble, particularly with three of his resolutions. Number two was silence, avoid trifling conversation. He also had trouble with number three on his list, order, let all your things have their places. And number five, frugality, waste nothing. But he admits these were some things where he had trouble keeping his resolutions. I've read that he would keep track of his performance as to how he was meeting his resolutions in a little book. And every time he would break one of his resolutions, he would make a mark in this book. And he was thinking that with time and with effort that he would improve and be able to erase some of those marks that he made in his book. However, what he found out was that there were so many black marks that appeared on top of black marks in that little book that the pages started developing holes. I'm going to come back to Benjamin Franklin at the end of our lesson. But I think he reminds us, if we're keeping track, we sure make a lot of mistakes. And if we would keep a book and make record of every time we broke one of the commitments we've made to ourselves and even more to the Lord, we'd have black marks on top of black marks, wouldn't we? So that the pages would be developing holes. The good news is that I want to remind us today that God is the God of the new beginning. God is the God of the new beginning. I challenge you sometime, you get out a Bible concordance and look up the word new and just read passages where that little word is found. And you'll see a lot of new things. You'll see things like a new covenant, a new name, and so forth. And you will be reminded that God is the God of the new beginning. In fact, the Bible begins with a new beginning. Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Hebrews 11 verse 3, the Hebrew writer says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. God spoke the world into existence. And when he created the world, it was indeed a new beginning, the beginning for life as we know it. And you remember when he created man, he put man into that beautiful garden, the Garden of Eden. You talk about pristine purity. Can you imagine the cleanliness of the air, the fruit that would grow on those trees, ready to eat? All the needs that man would have would be provided in that beautiful paradise on earth. After God created the heavens and the earth, the scripture says that he looked upon it. He saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day, Genesis 1:31. Again, a new beginning, fresh, clean, beautiful. But then man messed it up. Satan tempted, man sinned, things changed. But note that the Bible begins with a new beginning. Note, secondly, that the Bible ends with a new beginning. We go over to Revelation chapter 21 and read the first five verses. And notice how many times the word new is used here. Now I saw, John writes, a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. The Bible ends with a new beginning, speaking of heaven. But you see, because of our sin, and in our sin, we cannot experience this new beginning that God has in store. There's some conditions that we must meet. There's some things that had to transpire in order for us to experience this new beginning in the New Jerusalem. But before we get into what provision God has made, notice this with me, that each of us was once a new beginning. Each of us was once a new beginning when we were born into the world. There's a passage of scripture that Patrice and I read often and thought about before we had any children. John 16:21. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. I thought about sharing that passage with Eric when Haley was admitted into the hospital and when her labor was induced for the birth of Kinley. But I recall this passage, unfortunately, after labor had already been induced, and I thought perhaps that was not the time for Eric to share that passage with Haley. You talk about eating the Word of God. He might have had to eat it just then. But I believe Eric and Haley and all of us as parents, and even the mothers who have experienced that labor, would agree. As intense as that labor is, and no, we men don't have any clue, as intense that it is, it seems that it's forgotten when that baby is born. It's a new beginning. It's a wonderful gift of God. He or she is a wonderful gift of God. We're born pure and innocent in the sight of God. We're not born with original sin. We do not inherit the sin of Adam. Otherwise, why would Jesus say, Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. However, as children grow and as they reach what is called the age of accountability, when they understand that difference between right and wrong and they make those wrong choices, then they know sin. Then they mess up. We mess up that new beginning. And it's a universal problem. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3, verse 10. Verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's a universal condition. As we grow, as we reach that age of accountability, when we know the difference, it's a part of our human nature that we mess up. And so we need a new beginning. I love this poem by Louise Fletcher. I wish that there was some wonderful place called the land of beginning again, where all our mistakes and all our heartaches and all our selfish grief could be dropped like a shabby old coat by the door and never put on again. I don't know if that poem resonates in your mind, but if it doesn't, there are times when it will. Because most of us, if not all of us, have been there when we've made those blunders. When we haven't met those resolutions that we've made before God. When we've said those words that we shouldn't have said. When we responded like we should not have responded. When we did those things that we knew were against the will of God. And so we feel the burden of guilt in our lives. And like the words of Louise Fletcher, we long for that place, that land of beginning again. But the most wonderful news of all is that that longing can be satisfied because of God's love for us. There is a land of beginning again, if you will. We need a new beginning, a fresh start. And the good news, the gospel is that God in His grace and mercy offers to us a new beginning in Christ. When we've made a mess, when we've messed up, when we feel the guilt of our sins, God wants us to know that we can have forgiveness. We can begin again in Christ. In the passage that Kevin read for us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's found in Christ. In a right relationship with Christ, we can become a new creature. We can become as innocent as we were when we were born into the world, when we experienced that new beginning. We can have our sins washed away by the blood of Jesus. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul talks about how this happens. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You see, because God loved us so much, and because He wants us to have that new beginning, He gave His Son to die for our sins. Upon the cross, He took our sins. He paid the price for our redemption. He was buried, but then by the power of God, 3 days later, He was raised from the grave. And the death, burial, and the resurrection are the basic components of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. That because Jesus did that for us by God's plan, we, you and I, can experience that new beginning in Him. And as penitent believers, we can be baptized into Christ and in a sense reenact what Jesus did for us. We die to sin. We're buried with Him in baptism. And then we're raised from that watery grave to walk in newness of life. Having our sins washed away. Having been raised to a new life in Christ. No, it's not a life where we stop having to struggle with sin. We still struggle with it. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, John says in 1 John 1. But we have provision through Christ. That as long as we're striving to follow Him in His steps, as we walk in the light of His Word, the promise is that the blood of Jesus will continue to cleanse us. Will continue to cleanse those who have been baptized into Christ and have made that commitment to following Him. Let's go back to Benjamin Franklin. Think about that book that he kept and all those marks so that the pages were getting holes in them. He had to throw that book away. He decided he would do it a different way. He found a piece of ivory. I'm thinking it must have been some ivory slate. And it's upon this ivory slate he still kept that record. Every time he would make a mistake, break one of his resolutions, he would make those marks. And it would just fill up and fill up and fill up and fill up and fill up. Because he would make mistakes just like you and I do. Why ivory? Because he knew that with a wet sponge, he could wipe the slate clean and start over. And I don't know if he realized it or not, but he just described beautifully what God wants for you and for me to experience. We have the marks. We make the mistakes. But by the blood of Jesus, our slate can be wiped clean. If you've never obeyed the gospel, we hope and pray that you'll do so even today. That you can have a new beginning on this seventh day of February. It may be that as a child of God that you recognize, no, the struggle with sin is not over. And that you need to recommit your life to Christ and ask for forgiveness. And you need the prayers of the church on your behalf. If that's the case, we hope and pray that you'll let that be known. Think about these words of the song that we sing. Bring Christ your broken life, so marred by sin. He will create anew, make whole again. Your empty, wasted years He will restore, and your iniquities remember no more. If you desire that cleansing from Christ, won't you come right now as we stand and sing?